Hey, welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. I'm Ray Graff, in for Joe Donahue. 13 minutes after 9 o'clock, time to begin this morning's panel discussion on topics in the news. Today, we're joined by our own Alan Shartok and also political consultant Libby Post. Rosemary Armeo, a late scratch this morning, but I assume she will be back with us at some point this week. She lost her voice, you know.
Oh, boy.
That's going around. And by the way, speaking of voice, the microphone's over here.
Well, so, I have nothing to say, therefore I'm not open by the microphone. However, I do want to congratulate you, Ray, on doing a wonderful job.
Oh, really? It hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, because that's the kind of guy you are.
That puts an awful lot of pressure on me, and thank you for making it worse than it already
is. You're the only
is.
Guy I know who can make something bad out of something good. I just complimented you.
Oh, I see.
I don't want people writing me letters and saying, you know, you're not nice to Ray.
All right,
on the contrary.
All right, now, well, thank you, then.
Oh, boy.
Now, Alan, I'm sure you were watching the Philadelphia Eagles game yesterday, and the snow was coming down. Did you see how much snow they had in Philly yesterday?
Actually not, because if I was watching the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, that would have been my first football game I was watching.
Ever.
Yeah. My boy lives in New Orleans, but when he comes back, he is talking about why we don't have one of those television sets that goes from one wall to the other,
yeah,
so you can see the guy's pimples.
I have one of those.
Do you?
And
I have
one of those or two of those myself.
They're great.
But the weather was just terrible, and, you know, we're going to have some snow off and on the first part of this week around here. So winter, not even 2 weeks away, and here we are in the midst of winter.
Well,
you
know,
I'm sorry, Libby, you.
No, it's winter. I mean, it's December.
I was going to say that.
Right.
You know,
it's December. It is what we expect here. If we live here, we have no choice. Of course, they had very bad weather in Florida and Texas.
Yeah.
And they don't expect it.
No, they don't expect it. But I have to say this. I don't mind the weather. You know, it's just you take it as it comes.
Yeah.
I drive from Great Barrington in the dink and the dank of the morning, and I get over here. What drives me out of my mind are the crazies who get behind you. They, you know, you're going in a 40-mile-an-hour zone, you're going 40 miles an hour, and they're blinking their lights,
right.
You should go faster. It's crazy. And those are the guys who will not only kill themselves, which is not a good idea, but they're going to kill us, too. And I really resent it, you know, as we say, more than I can say.
Libby?
Well,
want to take a contrary position?
Well, no, because I agree, but
I told her everything she knows.
Yeah, that's right, he did. But the thing that It just got so cold so fast, and
yeah.
I think that threw everybody off. But it's got to get a little warmer in order to snow. So
all right, fair enough. All right,
so it's not so bad. And I was out at 5 o'clock this morning, and it wasn't that bad.
No.
All right, we've dispensed with the trivialities now for the morning. Let's move on to the, hopefully not any more trivialities. The first topic we'll discuss today.
Wait. Do you really think the weather is a triviality, my good friend?
No, but this
my
was
dear
sort of
friend,
a
Ray.
This was sort
this
of
is
an
a warm up,
an ease into the show.
No,
it's a Monday.
No, because this is probably what affects more people than anything.
All right,
else.
Well then, hey, listen, you got 45 minutes. Go. You want to talk about the weather? Go
for 45 minutes.
Sure.
No,
it's on
no.
you, man.
No, go ahead.
All right. So the first topic of the day is from the New York Times. Eastern states press Midwest to improve air. Now, this is, I'll read you the first paragraph verbatim here. This is by Coral Davenport from the New York Times. In a battle that pitched the East Coast against the Midwest over the winds that carry dirty air from coal plants, the governors of 8 northeastern states plan to petition the Environmental Protection Agency today to force tighter air pollution regulations on 9 Rust Belt and Appalachian states, the East Coast, that includes New York, Connecticut, have for more than 15 years been subject to stricter air pollution requirements than many other parts of the country. The governors have long criticized the Appalachian and Rust Belt states, including Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, for their more lenient rules on pollution. And then, of course, the smog blows this way. So now this is a battle. Now, the conservatives are saying this is just more in the battle against coal. And so there's going to be a Supreme Court case coming up. There is this battle from the East Coast to the Midwest. Is it just a political struggle against coal? Is that what we're talking about here? Alan first.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going to say Libby first. But okay, I'll go first.
Before beauty.
No question. But I wanted to just say that, look, this is bad business. We've known it for years. Our lakes have become acidified because of these people in the Midwest. And when they do this kind of thing, them I don't like. And I don't think it's about coal. We know there's scientific evidence that we're getting the smog, we're getting the acid, which is messing up our lakes and our Adirondacks and everything else, and it really shouldn't be allowed to go on. So with that said, look, you can't have rules for the East Coast and the West Coast, which we do, which are doing quite well, and then say, let the other guys' stuff come over your heads and poison you and give people all of these terrible diseases. That's wrong. But it goes further than that, because it's also a worldwide problem. So that if we say, and we did, we walked away from the Kyoto Treaty, you know we did. We had a chance to sign on with the rest of the world. Now we say to China, you know, you're killing yourselves and your stuff is floating this way. And we say to the Indians the same thing. So I don't get it. I mean, either we are all as a world going to have to recognize it, not only within the United States, but as a world, or we're in real trouble. What do you think, Libby?
Well, I think that there needs to be political will to do this. And I find it interesting that Governor Chris Christie, who wants to run for president, so they say, did not sign on to this case, because that would put him in league with the do-gooders. And
he needs to separate
himself from that. But I can tell you, as somebody, and Lynn said not to make this personal, but it is personal, as somebody who has asthma and who can get bronchitis at the drop of a hat, This air, the stuff that comes over, has an impact on people, and it makes it more difficult to breathe.
What?
And it makes getting over the bronchitis even more difficult. So yeah, there is a major impact on people's health. And when you go into communities where there's already pollution, like you go to New York City and other poor communities, and there's already a prevalence for asthma, it just makes it worse.
Well, you make a point, and the EPA estimates that the cross-state air pollution rule would prevent up to 34,000 premature deaths, 19,000 cases of bronchitis, thousands of non-fatal heart attacks. But they also estimate, and this is the battle, they also estimate it would cost businesses $800 million a year because of the expense of stall. They put these smokestack scrubbers in to clean stuff.
Yeah, and for those big businesses, it's a drop in the hat.
Remember, though, it goes back to Libby's energy bill.
So, tough darts.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, it is, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to pay for it. And let me ask you this, Ray. What is one human life worth?
Okay, but let me ask you this. What about the person who has a fixed income and can't afford to heat his or her home? Then what happens?
Well, as I've often said, in this country, there are major trade-offs to be made. We have a defense budget, which is astounding. You take some of that money and you put it into heating assistance so that poorer families can have that kind of help. That's what really ought to be going on in this country. But the idea that you would say, in the name of money, you should let that garbage float over, get into people's lungs, kill not only adults but children.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
this is terrible.
We have to make priorities in this country. And what's happening is the priorities. If a corporation is a person, you know.
Oh yeah, let me go.
You know, if a corporation is a person, and we see that as the priority, and we see protecting profits as the priority, then we're not going to be protecting people, and we're not going to be protecting children, and the budgets are much more focused on defense and building business, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a little bit.
Business
is doing well. I mean, the markets are doing well,
but is business domestically doing well?
Well, some people are. Welfare.
Right. It is corporate welfare, and they're going to give plenty of tax breaks to businesses that, you know, we're seeing it here in New York State, but we need to take care of our people, because if the Rust Belt wants to revitalize economically, they need to have people who are healthy and who can work.
Yeah, and not only that, but because they are relying on old technology, mm-hmm. they have to get their stuff together and get some new technology. I want to just say one thing, Ray. I say it every once in a while. that when I speak, I, of course, speak for myself. I don't speak
yes.
for this radio
yes,
station.
Yes, you do. You certainly do not speak for all of us. That's no. for sure.
that's clear,
now,
by the way.
Now, if you want to join the conversation, drop us an email, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or our Facebook page, or you can tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. We will take a short break, Mr. Hopper. We'll be back with more from our learned panel this morning.
Support comes from Dr. Victor Zinus, Woodstock, providing holistic dentistry, including tongue assessment, mercury removal, ozone therapy, and saliva testing. 845-657-2322. Buttermilk Falls Inn, Milton, a 75-acre Hudson Riverfront resort with lodging, a farm-to-table restaurant, and spa. Now booking holiday corporate and private parties and more. ButtermilkFallsInn.com. And Monticello, licensed real estate broker, serving Capital Region home buyers and sellers, including Albany and Saratoga counties. Wishing WAMC listeners happy and healthy holidays. MonticelloNYS.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. 9:24 is the time. I'm Ray Graff, in for Joe Donahue all week long. Lucky, lucky you. Alan Shartok is here with us this morning. Libby Post as well. Rosemary Amayo out ill today. Can't speak. And one thing we do is, one thing we do like is to have her speak.
Indeed.
She would just take up space.
Absolutely. Provocative and gets people thinking and talking.
Now here's one, Alan, that would be perhaps in your wheelhouse. This is from James Adato in today's Times Union. $15,000 sponsorships and FaceTime with public officials. This is quoting from Mr. Adato's fine piece here this morning. As Governor Andrew Cuomo's Moreland Commission investigates Albany's pay-to-play culture, two state agencies are soliciting corporations to donate up to $15,000 to underwrite a four-day conference the state is hosting at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. If they contribute the money sought, these corporate sponsors, many of whom seek contracts with the state, will get to attend a VIP reception and sip beer and wine with state government leaders and other special guests, such as Health Commissioner Nirav Shah. What do you think?
Are you looking at me?
Well, yeah, you're the guy who knows
right.
about the politics.
Well, all right, let me just say this is disgraceful. It's been disgraceful for years. The governor knows it.
Now, why is it disgraceful?
Because it's pay to play. And
is
because
it?
If you
yes.
yeah, of
is
course
socializing
it is.
Always pay to play?
Is socializing?
Socializing. You have a beer,
okay.
you have a
cigarette. Raymond, Libby, go.
As a small business person, this isn't about socializing. This is about getting in front of people who
legal
make
the bribery.
Decision. Right. On contracts, so give me a break.
Yeah, and back to me, Alan.
Alan, over to you.
Sorry,
Alan, over to
no,
you.
No, that's okay. No, I was Libby. You know, she may have been my student, but she's much smarter than I am.
Okay.
It's true, and that really
she's
helps.
She's certainly more pleasant.
She certainly is
yeah,
more pleasant.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're going to write me letters about how I'm not nice to you.
What?
Okay, so.
But let me be clear, you're always nice to me.
And always nice to him.
That's true, too.
Nicer than he deserves.
Anyway, go back on topic now.
Okay, right. I want to go back to it. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Andrew Cuomo recently had a Billy Joel concert given in his honor. The front row was made up of people who gave him $50,000 to sit there. $50,000
per seat.
Okay. Will somebody please help me here? I mean, I like Billy Joel.
Right.
But
I love Billy
yeah,
Joel.
Yeah. But is Billy Joel worth $50,000? No, they're giving it because they want to curry favor with the governor. I mean, they want something from the governor. Some of them, they want good stuff from the governor, you know, like maybe. Nah.
But, I mean, isn't that how the game has always been played?
Oh, well, therefore, if it's always been played that way, we should give up, tuck our tails behind our legs and just, run home. The fact of the matter is, if you want to have a democracy, if you want to have equality of opportunity, then you don't say to some people, because you give in. You know, my old friend Norman Adler used to say, the lobbyist, he used to say, you know, he would go into John Markey's office, I think it was John Markey, he was the head of the Finance Committee in the Senate, and he would say, come right in, Mr. Adler. And the same lady was sitting there week after week waiting to get in to see him who had an issue with cancer, or wanted to talk to him about that. And let me say that there's nothing new about that. I don't like it. It goes on everywhere. It goes on in virtually every kind of enterprise we have. It's as American as apple pie, but it's wrong.
Now, I'm taking the contrary position on everything this morning, just to fire you
just
up.
Just because you have to.
Well, because
that's what they pay you the big bucks for.
Well, yeah. You know, if you want to give $50,000 to the governor's campaign, you're free to do that. What's to prevent him from saying, hey, I'm going to throw you a bone. Here's some tickets to Billy Joel. I don't understand. I mean, are you suggesting that there should be limits on what people can give?
I thought there were.
Well, I mean, what's
the
problem?
No. First of all, you got a Supreme Court of the United States who's basically saying, okay, everything goes. You know, Noel Coward, everything goes. And
anything goes.
And what'd you say?
That's anything goes.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said everything goes.
Oh, yeah, anything or everything.
That's the other Noel Coward.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that correction
right,
to
my
attention. Okay, I'll try to hurry up if you don't divert me.
Okay.
But the fact is that $50,000 is the price of the ticket. It is not that you've given them $50,000 and they're throwing you a ticket, as you say. The whole idea is that these tickets are priced. You want to go, you pay the $50,000, you pay it gladly. Now, let me ask you why.
Okay, why?
Okay, because let's say somebody invests $1 million, $2 million, or $5 million eventually in a political candidate. But when they get, let's just say, a break on luxury housing in Manhattan, and a governor or a legislature passes that and gives you, if you're the real estate industry, what you want, what do you think is going on here? If you get millions and sometimes billions back, why wouldn't you invest $5,000 or $50,000 in a ticket? That's what it's all about, Raymond. But it's more than that. We know that the governor appointed, we have time or not?
You have about 10 seconds.
Well, then I give up.
You want to pick this up?
The moral and
break, because I have something to say.
All right, Libby has something to say as well, and there was no time, and Libby will go first, Alan, and then you will go second after the break, okay?
I hear you, Chief.
Libby goes first. If you want to join the conversation, email us, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Yes, we will take the aforementioned news break and back with more from Libby and Alan coming up this morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:36 is the time. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue all week long. It's going to be a long week. Alan Shartok is here, and Libby Post as well. And Libby has been getting the short end of the stick here because of the enlightened discourse between Alan and myself. And we were talking before the break about the article by James Adonto, $15,000 sponsorships and FaceTime with public officials in New York. And I think Libby had a couple of things to say about this.
Well, I wanted to go back to what Alan was saying about the $50,000 to go see Billy Joel. And I've seen him many, many times. Mm. And I would pay maybe $500, but not $50,000.
You would pay $500?
No, if I had really good seats. But actually, I can't even go to those concerts anymore because of... It's so noisy, but I'm thinking of going to the Madison Square Garden. But that be that as it may, this is why we need public campaign financing, because this is paying $50,000 gets you next to him, gets you in that close circle of people, of donors who can influence and gain access. And it's the same thing. I mean, the sponsorship stuff isn't public financing of campaigns, but spending $15,000 in a sponsorship, only large corporations and large businesses can do that. And it cuts out the smaller folks like me. It cuts out women-owned businesses, the majority of them, the minority-owned businesses. We're not these big corporations who can shell out $15,000 to cozy up to state officials. And it's really patently unfair.
Well, you know, the Moreland Act Commission, which Governor Cuomo quite correctly charged with going after the money.
Right.
They went after the legislature, and then there was this lady from Oneida County, Joni Mahoney, which is the best name in all organized
it really
politics,
is.
Joni Mahoney. And she said that we're never supposed to go after the guys in the executive branch, which is crazy, because when Cuomo charged, I remember the news conference where they said, I was listening, and he said, no, you go wherever the money is, no matter what. And he has almost $30 million or more now. in after all the 50,000s in right. in the bank. So she got reprimanded by indirectly anyway by Eric Schneiderman, who said no, there was never any such thing. But the Moreland Act Commission, in its initial report, which is, as we speak, beginning to gather dust, the very dust that's coming over from China.
Well, it's only been a few days.
What'd you say?
It's only been a few days.
Yeah, it's on the shelf somewhere.
But it goes, it's on the shelf, but the sediment is coming down on it already.
Oh, boy.
See, that was sort of fun, Ray. I didn't mean that to be. So anyway, so there is this report, and our own Blair Horner, who we love so much, who is the best of the government
best.
Watchers,
right.
the best of the white hats, said he was astounded, and he used to work for Cuomo, by the way. He said he was astounded by the lack of attention that was given to the executive branch in all of this. The problem really is that as we all know. There were five or six dissenting votes, maybe more, on the Moreland Act group who say, to the contrary, Libby, what you just said, you know, about the need for this. People don't want to pay for politicians' campaigns. That, too, they're gonna rake it off, and then we're going to pay for that also. And also, we've got the Supreme Court, which has said, to, you know, if you're outside of the campaign, so Cuomo has this group that the Friends of New York or whatever, and they come up and they say... we want to help here with the governor's program. But when the governor starts doing things that they don't like, then they're a little bit more quiet.
But those are the kinds of groups that Obama just said he wants to crack down on because they use nonprofit status in order to influence government. And you can use some of your money. And if you're a 501c3, you can use a little portion of your money to do some lobbying. But some of these other organizations have tax-exempt status, not tax-deductible, but tax-exempt, and they're not-for-profits and they're unregulated. And I'm a person who believes in not-for-profit organizations, but somebody like Karl Rove, which is
sure.
he's the one who uses these organizations, American Crossroads, to unfairly and unduly influence the elections. Now, going back to the 15,000, I thought it was interesting that neither DiNapoli or Schneiderman had any comment on it.
Well, now that's interesting. I don't think these guys want to fight with this governor.
Right.
Look, this is a tough guy, and you don't fight with him unless you're really stupid. And
or not this,
looking,
at any rate.
Looking in a mirror. But you have to understand that Schneiderman has his own issues with the governor.
Mm-hmm.
The controller has his own issues. DiNapoli has his own issues with the governor, and they're not going to control. Although I do believe when Schneiderman denied Joni Mahoney the other day when she said we were never supposed to go after the executive branch or investigate, that was a sort of roundabout mm-hmm. criticism of the governor.
Well, you know, and the controller's office has the ability to audit all of this. In the long run.
Yeah. The one thing about the controller that I want to tell you, Libby, is I know him well and have immense respect for him. But he knows, he knows that there are ways that the governor's people can deal with him. For example, and we'll be
what
talking
happened?
About this in the future, he's the sole trustee of the huge pot of money that is used to invest for people's pensions. And we keep hearing that the governor's people are coming after that. They want a governor-appointed panel, which means a governor in control of that money. That's quite a story.
That is quite a story, and it's quite the difference.
You're hearing it here first, by the way.
And that's quite the... This shift, and just a little bit more about the controller is that he's now urging Olympic corporate sponsors, to speak out for the LGBT rights in Russia. I mean, he's been very good about
right.
How where the money's been going and how it's being invested, and because Russia has such heinous laws. And there's been quite an uproar, and what do we do? Boycott, compete, show them up? He's entered that fray around the investments.
Our controller in this state has a little problem. His predecessor went to jail for...
Oh, that's right.
Allowing people to influence, through money. They were called placement agents, and if you wanted to play with Alan Hevesy, and mm-hmm. he went to jail. So therefore... This controller has never been a guy who's been out front with big money. because he certainly isn't going to get into that boat that Hevesy's in. I just thought I would mention it, which is interesting because he's always the first one to say, okay, if you're going to do campaign financing, start with me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Alan Chartok is here. Libby Post is here. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. You can join the conversation by emailing us at roundtable@wamc.org. I want to backtrack before the break to something Libby said early on after the news, and that was her call for public campaign financing. And so a conservative might say that this is inherently anti-democratic because you're not allowing people, say Libby favors the Governor X, and Governor X fully stands for what Libby wants. Libby's in a position to throw a large sum of money to make sure Governor X goes. Now, suddenly, with campaign finance rules and public financing, suddenly Libby not allowed to exercise her democratic voice in the process. So I would like you guys to discuss that criticism.
Okay, that's a good criticism, but first we should read some of the mail, right?
Oh, if you wish.
Is that all right?
Well, yeah, we can because do that after the break.
Well, okay. Your Jerry Schultz says, okay, one answer to the pollution drift and lack of Midwest incentive to upgrade would be to ask them to lower their smokestacks to about 50 feet instead of 300 feet current high stacks. They will change only when local citizens demand it, in other words, or regulation mandates it. It is likely that the competition from natural gas will cause it to change. Natural gas isn't perfect, but it's measurably better, says Jerry. Maybe I wasn't supposed to read his first name, in which case I apologize. And then there is from Al Hicks. Hello, Ray.
Hello, Al.
If the business down the street from your house created garbage, I bet you would not let them dump it in your yard to reduce their costs. I thought, you know, that's no
good. Depends on what's in it for me.
Yeah. Jill Hayes on Pay to Play says, well, Jill did. I'm sorry. I just...
Okay.
If giving donations to a politician only got the donor Billy Joel tickets, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But since it usually gets the politician to vote for certain legislation, that's where I draw the line. And on. People are writing like crazy now.
Oh, wow.
Now.
That's great. Now we got off topic.
I'm sorry. Go back to it.
Oh, boy.
Democracy and...
Does anybody remember?
Well, I remember. Okay. Democracy and...
My right to give somebody money or my right not to give somebody money. And my democratic right? My democratic right is the ability to walk into the voting booth and pull a lever.
So you don't think anyone should be able to exercise their speech in the form of money for a candidate?
No, because what happens is the people with money unduly influence elections. I do this for a living. I see what happens when people who have money are able to do versus the people who don't. And the folks who don't are usually the ones who are a little more progressive, a little more worthy of my support.
I see.
And you know, they don't have the money to get their message out there. And it's if corporations are people and they're allowed to give as much money as they want.
No, I didn't say corporations. I said Libby.
I understand that.
If Libby was well-heeled with money.
But it's the same thing. It's anybody who's well-heeled with money. I mean, look, the richest people in this country don't want to pay more taxes. What is that about? It's greed. And so the richest people, the people with money, give to candidates who support their agenda of no taxes and supporting their right to continue to amass an incredible amount of wealth to the detriment of the rest of the country.
Okay, now someone might counter, a conservative might counter by saying, the richest people already pay the most taxes by a vast majority.
But there are corporations, right, Ray, that pay no taxes at all.
But getting back to Libby's call, you know, the Soviet Union and the Chinese, they had public financing of campaigns.
Had
public financing of campaigns.
They didn't have campaigns.
But this is the point. That is the point.
So you're saying...
So the only way we can have campaigns is for rich people to give money?
But how about everybody?
So let's get this straight.
Well, that's public financing.
Let's get this straight. That what you're saying is that you're afraid that we will adopt the old Soviet model and the Chinese model if we have fair campaign financing.
No, that is a ridiculous statement.
Well, that's what I thought you were saying.
That is a perfect spot for a break because that doesn't even require a response. Well, Hopper, let's hit the underwriting.
Support comes from Catskill Hudson Bank, based in Kingston and specializing in commercial loans for local businesses and organizations. 12 branches in the Hudson Valley and Catskills. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. CatskillHudsonBank.com. Center for Better Hearing, Glens Falls, New York. Doctors Susan Boja and Kara Bador providing comprehensive hearing and hearing aid services. HearingBest.com. And Lake George Kayak Company, a kayak, canoe, and stand-up paddleboard center providing sales, rentals, and lessons. LakeGeorgeKayak.com.
It's the roundtable on WAMC. You know, we never give enough notice to Hopper in the control room, and he picked some great bumper music today. Not always, but today you were right on the money, Hopper, so thank you very much. You are listening to the roundtable on WAMC. It is 9:49. It's the morning coffee klatch, whatever you want to call it, and Alan Sharthock is here. Libby Post is here. I'm Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Well, here's one, and Alan, who has often had lovely things to say about airlines and plane rules. Here's one that Alan will love, and I'm sure Libby will love it as well. I don't fly, so it makes no difference to me. Man wakes up on United jet locked in and alone, from CNN.com. Tom Wagner woke up Friday night, and the plane cabin was dark and empty, completely empty. He looked around from his window seat near the back of the jet and wondered, what is going on? He tried the jet door. It was locked. He told CNN affiliate KTRK that he called his girlfriend and she thought he was kidding or crazy. She called United Airlines. About 30 minutes later, the door opened up. And he says, I was coming from Louisiana to see my sister in California. We had a layover in Texas. I just took my hat off and I took a nap. And, well, he fell asleep and they locked the plane. Discuss.
Well, we've seen a lot of this with school buses.
Yeah.
School bus, not a lot, but some, where a school bus leaves a kid in thing. And, you know, I've often, I know this is somewhat divergent, but you get to Grand Central Station on the train, you know, you see this guy fast asleep on the train.
And you wonder.
And you say, here we are in Grand Central Station. Everybody's getting their stuff. They're going off the train. Should I just nudge them? You know, say, hey, we're here.
Yeah.
You know, so that nothing bad, you know, happens. Or even if he just gets up and walks away. I never do because, you know, I'm a little concerned about that. But you know, somebody's got to. Often when I get off the plane, I see the crews.
I thought they went in and checked everything.
Yeah, well, shouldn't they?
Yes. Well, they should. But I see the crews ahead of me. They're out before I am.
Yeah, but then they come in and clean the plane.
You mean the plane cleaners?
Yeah.
Ah, what does that prove?
Right.
That they're not cleaning the planes.
Right. Yeah. But it's true. I mean, yes, maybe some of the crew does get off, but one would think that part of their checklist is making sure that everybody's off. Just like the part of the checklist now for bus drivers is to make sure all the kids are off. And this was a small plane. There were just a handful of people on
it.
It's not like you can look back and you can't see anybody if you slouch down a little
bit.
Well,
that's why you're better off when you're 6 feet tall than if you're my size.
But nonetheless.
Because, you know.
And they only gave him $250.
And it's, you know.
Well, they gave him a voucher.
A voucher.
It's potentially a security concern. Because if terrorist Y wants to hang out on a plane overnight and do nefarious things, theoretically it's possible because they're not even looking.
Or how about sneak onto a plane?
Yeah.
As a boy did, he jumped on a plane to Vegas, no ticket, by himself. He got on, he went to Vegas. What is going on with you people who fly? I haven't flown in
is that true?
11, 12 years.
Oh, yeah, that really? The Vegas story
I can't
is
afford
true.
It. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean the Vegas story.
Oh, whether
I
mean, he's...
That Ray hasn't.
Yeah, well, you know, I just don't have occasion to leave the house much.
Except to come here.
Exactly, except to come to work.
Here and back and here and back.
Right. And, you know...
Well, it's a terrible thing that this guy got left on the plane. It does prove that they weren't doing their jobs. You know, I don't want to return to the terrible tragedy on Metro North.
No.
But I can tell you that within days, all kinds of safety has been put into effect. They've got emergency slowdown mechanisms. They've got new signals that are there. They're going to have apparently TV cameras on the engineer all the time, and the conductor has to stand next to the engineer. And during that, it's amazing what can be done when you have to do it.
It's the roundtable on WAMC, and you know. That was, I think we've exhausted that topic. Yes, you have anything more to say?
No, just that they should really look in the cabins before they lock the door because, you know, I mean, somebody died on a plane. A young kid died on a plane this week, and people jumped to his aid, and they did a great job. So it's not
They obviously didn't do a great job. Right.
Well,
he died.
Look, he died, but I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, but I did see that he did die. He could have had a heart attack or whatever. But people, you know, jumped to his aid, and they did the right thing. And, you know, and the staff was probably right there. In this case, they have to be more diligent. Because what happens if this guy got locked in and he had a heart attack or something else?
Yeah, well,
you know,
well,
it could have
been
too cold,
right?
Or any of that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make a great deal of sense.
Well, he didn't have a cell phone.
Well, he
had
did,
a cell phone.
If he didn't,
Have a cell phone.
Right. Well, chances are you survive a night in a plane. They wake up. I mean, it's not
it's
the other.
Cold.
Not if there are snakes in the plane.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, if you want to join this scintillating conversation, feel free to email us at roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. You can also comment on our webpage or Facebook page. And feel free to tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Libby, do you tweet?
Yes.
You do? Do you enjoy it?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I don't do it as much. I do Facebook more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to follow the sports news on the Twitter.
On Twitter, yeah.
And it's very late breaking.
I can tell you that when we did, when marriage equality passed, I was in the Senate gallery, and I got the one seat next to a plug. And so I was...
Oh, really? The whole place is only one place? Amazing.
Yeah, and I was using TweetDeck, and I was tweeting and doing on Facebook, and, you know, the blow-by-blow, and that was really a lot
that
of fun.
That is exciting. Alan, you have something from the electronic world?
Hi, Alan and Joe, but Joe isn't here.
Right.
That's you.
I'll be Joe.
Ray, let me prove my point this morning. She said a corporation who? She should have said a corporation that.
Oh,
corporations
sorry.
Are things, not people. Therefore, the relative pronoun should be that. Or which. We cannot let ourselves fall into reinforcing the stupid idea that corporations are people by using improper grammar.
Ah!
Ay. The relative pronouns to nouns being people, places, or things are who and whom for people and that or which for places and things. Please help us. Very small but very important use of grammar. We should not reinforce the Supreme Court.
Okay, Libby. Okay. This is on you.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, fine.
Joel Abdul. New York City has public financed campaigns. That hasn't stopped any corruption. What's the Roundtable's honest assessment? Well, there
is... That's great, Alan. This is perfect for you.
No, but that's an assumption. That's an assumption that it hasn't stopped any corruption. How do you know? All I know is that all of the people that I've been reading who have evaluated the program think it's terrific, and then it's gotten a lot of people to run who couldn't otherwise.
All right, well, let's turn that around. How do you know that somebody who ponies up $15,000 for a sponsorship to this four-day conference the state is hosting at RPI is going to get any benefit from that? How do you know?
You know what Roselle always says to me?
What's that?
When I say something, she said, we women know about these things. And the fact of the matter is...
Why else would you pay?
I know about them. Okay. Right. Okay, that's enough on that.
I see.
So, I'm looking for anybody else who may have something. Acid Rain, we did that one already.
All right, well, that's good.
Okay, Rocco Rizzo, our old friend.
Oh, Rocco, how you doing, Rocco?
Ladies and gentlemen, we must take care of the Earth, regardless of the cost. We must be concerned about the future of the human race, and if this pollution and climate change continues, there will be no human race left to debate about it. There is no plan, parenthesis, this is a really cute, E.T., parenthesis, plan it be, Rocco from Rosendale. And unlike that, Greg said, I agree, Alan. I think Ray is a terrific part of this program. Good job, Ray.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think we finally agree.
Well,
that's great.
We agree on that. And all like that, that's all I got.
Okay, well, listen, this was a lot of fun. And boy, I appreciate Libby being here today. This was.
We love her.
I'm going to be back, you know.
When?
Wednesday.
Terrific.
Could you come tomorrow also?
Well, I think, we could work that out.
You're always welcome.
Absolutely. There are plenty of microphones here in Studio A. Mike Spain will be here tomorrow.
Good.
Maybe. I'll let you know.
We shall see. Yeah.
I have a 10 o'clock.
Again, you can join the conversation. Email Alan. He goes through his email relentlessly at roundtable@wamc.org. And you can tweet us at WAMC Roundtable. Thanks so much for being here on the panel, Alan and Libby. And we appreciate everybody listening. There are two more exciting hours of the Roundtable straight ahead.